I hope we didn't ruffle any religious feathers this morning, but we're free. We're free. Amen. You know, God wants His people to be joyful. He wants us to celebrate. We're celebrating life today, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. People can scream their voice away at a football game. We're talking about the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And He's risen. How do I know that He's risen? Well, I don't need scientific proof to know that He's risen. Why? Because He's risen in me. I'm living proof that He is risen. You're living proof. Amen. He's risen in us. Christ is alive. And He lives in me. But He won't barge the door down. He won't kick it down. He won't force Himself. If you want to live in death, you know, that's up to you. But I've decided that life is much better. Amen. Life is good in the God zone. I have a new normal now. What used to be normal is now abnormal. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've got a new normal now too. And I don't let this world any longer define what is reality. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. The devil wants to enslave you in your mind, and in your sin, and in your shame. Jesus wants to set you free from all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's just the way it is. I'm just a sinner, and get over it. God has risen. Amen. Amen. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Amen. He has set us free. Jesus didn't come just to forgive our sins, but Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin. Sin has no longer any power over my life. I'm free in Christ today. I can choose to sin against my God, but sin no longer has a hold on me. Sin no longer has dominion over me. Why? I'm no longer under the dominion of Lucifer. Amen? I'm in the kingdom of heaven now. And I have a new king, amen? And He is King of kings. Amen? We're not worshiping a fallen cherub. We're worshiping the King of glory, the King of all creation. The El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to get high, you got to go to the Most High. Because this world will let you down. Amen. And you're always looking, try to get that thing back again, and you can't ever get it. Why? Because the devil's a thief. And what he gives you is a lie. Dressed up in pretty packages. Isn't that the way it is? Sin is usually dressed up in pretty packages. If it wasn't pretty, you wouldn't want it. What you don't know is that it's poisonous. How many know that it is poisonous? And how many also realize that praise to God, is toxic to the devil? Uh-huh. You know, sometimes, you know, people, you know, they don't realize what's going on, but there's a war going on. And that war is for your soul. And that's why people get very uncomfortable when Holy Spirit shows up. Amen? Like all of a sudden the light is on and the demons are like, no, turn it off. I'm melting. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And He said, all exousia, all authority has been given unto me. How much?
All.
So how many would agree with me today that it's wise to be under His authority? Amen. Because the devil's not your friend. Sin is not your friend. Sin destroys you. Jesus heals you. Jesus restores you. Jesus gives you new life. Jesus gives you a new normal. You know, when I got my new normal, my old friends thought, man, you're abnormal. What happened? I said, listen, I got a new normal now. What used to be normal is now abnormal. And there's no going back. There's nothing to go back to. Choose you this day who you will serve. God says, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. As for me and my house, we've made the decision to follow Jesus. No turning back. Hallelujah. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles today, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin with verse 1. Heavenly Father, I ask you for grace. Give me ears to hear your voice today, Lord, to speak the very oracles of God. Manifest yourself to us, Lord. Reveal yourself through your word today in Jesus' name. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Verse 5 says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, there's a whole sermon right there. But that has been my story. And even with some of you here today, it's your story still. And God wants to set you free from this stuff. Amen. You're looking for life in all the wrong places. Why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, dead experiences, you know, dead things, dead relationships. I was part of the culture of dead, of death. But what I really was looking for was life, but I was looking in the wrong place. And what I thought was really living was actually death. And see, the enemy's slick, and so he doesn't show you any fruit right away of death, but he'll entice you and he'll let you go. As far as you want to go, as deep with him as you want to go. And he's just setting you up to destroy you. And so, you know what I'm talking about? He'll give you a great big long rope. He's just keep on following this rope. Eventually, the rope's going to come to an end. And guess whose neck it's around? That's how he works. So he's got people all over us and all around us that are seeking for life in the wrong place. Remember the song, Looking for Love? In all the wrong places. You know, that's really what everybody has a desire for, is authentic, real love. Truth. Amen. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to. How many have believed that you are in love at one time and only to discover that it really wasn't love at all? Or somebody made you think that they loved you and then you discovered they really didn't. They just had an agenda. How many know that God is not like that? God was the one who took the initiative. He took the first step in our redemption. It was that God loved us first. God loved us that much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you've come. Amen. He came. Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. That's awesome. That is real love. Amen. He didn't lay down his life just for those who loved him. But he laid down his life for those who hated him, for those who despised him, for those who ridiculed him, for those who mocked and scorned him, for those who crucified him. He laid down his life for them too. And at the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's how great the love of God is. How many know that that's not natural? That's supernatural. That kind of love is supernatural love. And that's the kind of love that we encounter, we experience in Jesus Christ. It's a supernatural love. I can love the unlovely now. When I look in the mirror, I can even love that. The unlovely. Amen, brother? Yeah. Do you feel my pain too? Or okay. It gets worse every day, by the way, right? But God's going to give us a brand new body, praise God. See, that's the hope that's laid out in the resurrection. You know, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is evidence. It's proof that God the Father had approved the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And in Hebrews 9 and 12, it says, with his own blood, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus himself became our high priest. The high priest was the one that would take the blood from the sacrifice into the most holy place on earth, which represented the most holy place in heaven. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go behind that veil that was about 6 inches thick and never without blood, because if he went and he wasn't ceremonially clean, they would drag him out by the ankle. Literally, they had put a rope around his ankle and bells. And if the bells stopped, that meant that he was struck dead because he had defiled the sanctuary of God. How many know that none of us are worthy to stand in God's presence except by way of the blood of Jesus? We can come by way of the blood. Amen. A sacrifice was required because sin could not take away sin. God sent his Son to become our sacrifice, to become the Lamb of God. And with his own blood, it says that he entered into the most holy place, the tabernacle, not on the earth, but in heaven itself, as our high priest. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, the altar. Amen. And that blood speaks mercy, grace, forgiveness to those who will repent, turn to God. And without the resurrection, you know, Jesus wouldn't be there representing us. Amen. Without the resurrection, we would all still be in our sins. We would be without hope. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, it says, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, born in sin, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. And that's why we're here. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, the new life that we have in Jesus. You see, I want to talk about something that many people don't consider, but there is a present resurrection. A present resurrection with Christ in the Spirit. You see, we know that just like Jesus rose bodily from the grave, that someday those who die in Christ will also be raised bodily. Amen? However, there is a present resurrection in the Spirit. See, everything begins first of all in the Spirit. And if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall give life or quicken this mortal body. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Him. You will die in your sins and you will go to a devil's hell. There is no other escape. There is no other way, truth, or life except through the one that God has ordained. And He has given assurance of this and that He has raised Him from the dead. Amen. There is coming a day when everyone, every man, woman, boy, and girl throughout history, from every generation, from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, will stand judgment. You have a day, and your day in court is coming. My day in court is coming. Who will be able to stand in that day? Only those who are in Christ. Only those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's by the blood only that we can come into His presence. Hallelujah. There's a present resurrection. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. If you have been raised spiritually, if you've been born again, then we are to set our affections or our minds on what? The realities of heaven. We are not to live, amen, as paupers in this world, but as citizens of the greater reality, which is this kingdom of heaven. Jesus died, amen, to redeem us, to pay, amen, the price that we deserve to pay. He bought us with His own blood so we could be His children and we could share in His kingdom. In other words, we're exchanging an inferior reality for a superior one. I don't know about you, but that sounds like good news to me. That sounds like something I want. I want the life of God. Amen? I don't want the old Adam. I want to be new in Christ. Because in Adam, all die. All of us are born in sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short. Amen? Of the glory of God. But we can be justified freely through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. Now, there's going to be a bodily resurrection. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, this body is corruptible. Amen. This body is perishing. And so I must receive a glorified body. And the glorified body comes from the Lord Himself. Only Jesus can give you a glorified body. Amen? You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. Only Jesus can give it to you. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, the present and future resurrection life comes from who? The indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen? That's just the Spirit of Christ in the believer. In Romans 8 and 9 it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now hear this. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. You're without hope. Your only hope is Christ in you. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Amen. It's going to pass away. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God becomes our righteous standing. He becomes our righteousness. You understand? It's not my righteousness that gets me there. It's His righteousness given to me. He is my righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him, Romans 8:11, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. My friend, you need to know that you have salvation. You need to know that Christ is in you. The resurrection of life can only be experienced by those who truly repent. You see, this is something that's not being taught today. People are offering people salvation without repentance. And it is a lie. It is a false gospel. It is a cheap grace gospel. True salvation is experienced by those who have come to an awareness that they are sinners and that they have fallen short of God's glory. Are there any candidates here? Have we realized that? Have we known that? Have we known that I truly am not that good? I'm just not good enough for Him. I'll admit that, amen. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve the Lord. But God Himself is the one who can qualify you for eternity. He's the one that can make you right. He's the one that can give you eternal life. Amen? It's not by my goodness. Otherwise, the cross would have been in vain. It's because we could not save ourselves that God became a man and took our place. So that through His sacrifice and through His resurrection, we also could die to sin and live a new life in resurrection power. God, I thank You today for Your word. I thank You for the truth. I thank You, Lord, that You were willing to lay down Your life for me, the undeserving, that I could become a child of Yours by Your grace. Acts 17 and verse 30 says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. What is repentance? Amen. It's me coming to my senses. It's me realizing that I'm going the wrong way. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm not in life. I'm in death. It's me coming to awareness that I am in trouble and I am a sinner found guilty before God Almighty. And the only hope of rescue I have is at the mercy of God, that I would lay my life before Him and say, God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. God will absolutely refuse anyone who comes to Him and says, well, God, look how good I am. Look how such a good life I've lived. God will absolutely refuse that. Why? Because your sin remains. The problem is sin has to be dealt with. The sin in your heart, the sin in my heart has to be dealt with. And only Jesus Christ could do that. Only the blood of Jesus can take away sin. A lot of people are in hell because they thought, if I just do enough good, God will accept me. No, the problem is that God is holy and we are not. And sin cannot come before His presence. He cannot look on or tolerate sin because He's holy. And His very holiness will slay the sinner. And so Jesus, and God in His mercy, because He loved us so much and He wanted us to be with Him, He took our place. He paid the price. So we could be forgiven. Who? How many know what that forgiveness is like? It's like having a shower on the inside. And so He said, listen, God has given us assurance. He's appointed in verse 31 a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. The fact that Jesus rose means that we have a high priest in heaven that will represent us. We have an advocate. You have a defense attorney in heaven. Thank God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Don't trust your goodness. Come to your advocate. Come to Jesus and confess your sins and renounce them. And you'll find mercy. Turn away from your way. I have decided to follow Jesus. I've made up my mind. I've repented. The things that I used to do that God disapproved of, I'm done with. You see, you're really not ready for Jesus until you're done with sin. Do you come to the place where you're done with it? I'm not saying you're going to live a perfect life. I'm saying that in your heart, you don't want anything to do with it anymore. Why? Because of Christ in you. You'll have a new creation. Amen? A new heart, a brand new heart that He gives to those who repent. Acts 3:19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted. That word converted means turn about. Turn around. That your sins may be blotted out. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You want to have refreshing? There is no refreshing like the refreshing of the Lord. Amen? It is such a wonderful refreshing that God gives. Now, many people ask the question, what about our resurrection? What happens to a believer when they die? And Jesus mentioned that there are actually two resurrections. One is the resurrection of life, and the resurrection of condemnation is the other. In John 5:26, Jesus said, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Two resurrections. Number one, the first resurrection is the resurrection of life. In Revelation 20 and verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. How many know that there's going to be a bodily death someday? Amen? We're all going to kick the bucket someday. It's going to be over. Amen? This body will die. However, if you're in Christ, if you're in right standing with God, then when your body dies, you shall receive a new glorified body from God.
Amen.
Amen? But then he talks about this second death here. What is a second death? A second death is for those who never repented and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Those who have rejected the gospel. Are you hearing me? They will die the second death, which is eternal death, eternal separation in the lake of fire. Why? Because God, first of all, he originally designed hell not for human beings, but for the angels that left their first estate, the angels that fell. Amen? But to those who refuse the love of the truth, that they might be saved, these will also receive a strong delusion. They will actually be sent a delusion, and they will believe the lie, and they will be condemned because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They heard the truth. They heard about what Jesus did, but they chose to live in sin anyways. Those will be confined also to the same fate as those angels that left their first estate, and that is the lake of fire. God is not willing that anyone should perish. God took every step, amen, so that you and I could escape hell, and we could be with him forever. But because he's holy and he cannot tolerate sin or look upon sin, he's made provision for us to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to receive, amen, a shower on the inside, so we could be holy in his presence. Amen. So we could be called sons and daughters, and we could cry out to our Heavenly Father. That's the good news. And then the next resurrection he talks about is that of condemnation. In Revelation 20 and 11, it says, "I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone found not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know that you know that you know that your name is written in heaven today? You know something? I don't want to guess about that. I want to know that my heart is right with God. How about you? I don't want to face this same fate that these angels that have fallen are going to face. I don't want to end up in the lake of fire. I think it's a pretty wise thing, amen, to repent of your sins. The things that caused Jesus such pain. Amen. It was our sin that put him on the cross. He had to bear, amen, the shame and the reproach and the agony of all the sins of the world that God placed upon Jesus. He paid that price for us. How many know that God deserves the rest of us? He deserves our best. We should give him our lives. Jesus bore our sins. How should we and how could we live any longer according to the pattern of this world? based upon all that Christ did for us, based upon all that He provided for us in His sacrifice, how can we neglect such a great salvation as that? How many are ready to meet the Lord? You know, there was a time when I could not lift my hand in full confidence and say, I don't know. Maybe, I hope so. Maybe I've done enough good. Maybe I've been a good enough person that God would like me and let me come in. The problem is, folks, your goodness is never good enough. And unless you come by way of the blood, and that comes through repentance, there is no life. You must come through the cross. Everyone, it doesn't matter what echelon of, if you're an up and outer or a down and outer, everybody has to come the same way, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other salvation, and there's no other name given among under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is one way, one truth, and one life. Jesus says, I am that way. And it's only through His blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So guess what? Hebrews 9:27 says this, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. This is the Word of God. It is appointed for men once to die, after this the judgment. What does that mean? That means that all will be raised. There's going to be a resurrection, but there's going to be two types. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. A resurrection of life and a resurrection of condemnation. Everyone's going to see Jesus. Every knee is going to bow to Him. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are not going to have our day in court. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure now, today, is the day of salvation. Today, I'm getting my heart red white because I could walk out that door and get hit by a car and it can be over and it's going to be too late. You see, many in the days of Noah thought that they had plenty of time just to play and put off and put off and put off until the day that Noah and his family entered into the ark and God Himself closed the door. That means that the opportunity to be saved was no longer. Some of us think, well, I've got many years. One of these days, or on my deathbed, I'll get my heart right with God. How do you know that? Are you sure about that? You think you know? Do you know that your very next breath is a gift of grace? Isn't it not the God who spoke everything into existence that also sustains us by the word of His power? We're held together at the molecular level, amen, by the word of God. How many know it's time to get right with God? Am I making anybody mad today? I hope so. I love you enough to tell you straight up, folks, that there is salvation and none other. There is no other way. You're not going to be good enough. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try to be a good person, you can be a moral, upright, good citizen, living by the law, you know, being a good family man, a good family woman, whatever. You can do all those things and split hell wide open. Why? Because of sin. Because we've all sinned. There is only one way to life, and that is through Jesus Christ. Are you hearing it today? Do you understand? This is the message that Christ had come to present to us. He said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. You try to save yourself, you'll lose your soul. And He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Your soul is eternal. Amen. I used to think, well, I'm hoping that when I was living in the world, I was just hoping I'm going to die. I'm just going to go into the dirt. It's going to be all over. That's what I was hoping for. But that's not the truth. When God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he became a living soul. That means you're going to live forever. All souls belong to me, says the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I want to be right with my Maker, right with God, so I can stand before Him faultless. Amen? Not based upon my own goodness, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not something you earn, it's something you receive. Someday we're going to die. Where are you going to spend eternity? What resurrection are you going to be part of? Are you going to be in the resurrection of life? You know something? There's been times in my life when I was afraid of death. I feared it. I didn't know what was going to happen. None of us obviously have been there, unless you've had one of those things where you died and you came back. But I was fearful of that. And so I distracted myself. I kept myself busy in my mind. Always some kind of media stimulation, music. It was mostly music for me. Television things, activity, to keep myself from having to sit down and really consider the condition of my soul and what's going to happen to me when this is all over. And I had fear about death. Do you know something, folks? Today, I can tell you that I don't fear death anymore because I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to have that peace today, too. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't say, well, they're just good Christians. No, there's no such thing. Amen. There's redeemed and there's lost. Amen. If we're walking in Christ, amen, you'll bear good fruit. If you're in Christ, you'll have His desire in you. You got to be born again. You know, God doesn't just give you a self-help book and say, here, patch some things up in your life. Turn over a new leaf. Do a little better. Work a little harder at it. Amen? No, God transforms. God changes. As a metamorphosis, you become a new creation. That is what it means to be born again. You must be born again. You must become a new creation. And only Jesus can do that. When your heart is right with God, there is no fear in death. 1 John 4:18 says, such love, His love has no fear. Because perfect love expels or drives out all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. You don't want to guess, and I'm not going to tell you it's okay between you and God. You need to come to Jesus yourself. You need to make right with God. I can't save you. I'm just the paper boy today. Jesus fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law, both the sacrificial and moral. And those of us who have entered into union with Him, with Christ, have passed from death unto life. It is by God's grace, and death is swallowed up in victory in Christ. Have you been born of the Spirit? I ask everyone to bow your heads this morning. And I want to encourage you not to allow the fear of man to prevent you from responding to the opportunity you have been given this morning to get right with God. God wants to make you right. God wants to forgive you. God wants to cleanse you. He wants to give you that shower on the inside. He wants to make you a new creation. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to humble yourself and you've got to be honest with God and say, God, I'm willing to come to You. And I admit, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I am in need of Your mercy today. God, I'm asking You to forgive me. Save me. If this message has touched your heart today, then we want you to call the church office at 426-9594, and we want to pray with you. God bless you.